Well, what do you think has been the big headline news story this summer? Well, for mine, it's the growing calls to move Australia Day away from January 26. Several local councils are declining to mark the occasion. Triple J Radio has moved its hottest 100 countdown from the day. And of course, the Australian Greens want to change the date. Now, the issue has been a front page news story virtually every day this year, and it raises all sorts of important questions, doesn't it? Is January 26 a day of shame, that it represents an act of dispossession and an act of theft? Or is it also a day to recognise our history, warts and all, both the bad and the good, including the benefits of British settlement and Western civilisation? And how would changing the date of the First Fleet's arrival in 1788, how would that help the plight of Aboriginal Australians? Jacinta Price is an Alice Springs Town Councillor and a Research Associate at the Centre for Independent Studies, where, disclaimer, I'm now Executive Director. And Joe Williams is the author of Defying the Enemy Within. That's just out from ABC Books and HarperCollins. He's also a former international boxer and first grade footballer for the mighty South Sydney Rabbitohs, for whom, disclaimer, I have been a diehard supporter for about four decades. Joe, Jacinta, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
There's plenty of them around, don't worry.
Jacinta, why should January 26 be our national holiday?
I don't believe we should change the date of the 26th of January, because I do believe it is a very significant date in our country's history. You know, that it does represent the bad side of our history, but also I believe there's much good in our history, as well as, you know, where we are today as Australians. And the fact that, you know, it holds this significance, I think, is important to us all. You know, it is when the British first made contact with Aboriginal Australia, and I've argued that I believe we need to take all of our history, because it's what makes us who we are, to move forward. And the 26th of January is the most significant date with regard to Australia's history.
Your critics would say the founding of a British penal colony and what would later become New South Wales, that's a dubious basis for our national holiday. And they'd say that January 26 was an act of empire building that brought great hardship and horror for Indigenous Australians.
Look, certainly it did bring hardship toward, you know, the first Australians. And I think that is something that we are definitely all aware of. And I do believe that from, you know, if we don't recognise this particular date, then we are not recognising where it began at the same time. And I'm a big believer in learning our history in its entirety. And I think this debate has brought about that particular point, that we as Australians don't know enough about our history. And it's really important to do that and to understand the complexities within our history and the good relationships between black and white Australia, you know, as well as those bad relationships.
Joe, isn't history complex? And it brings to mind something that John Howard has said, context is everything. Wasn't colonisation of our vast land mass, wasn't that inevitable? And wasn't British settlement a far better outcome than other possibilities?
And I've been asked this question a lot before. Is it a better outcome or the best of two evils? At the end of the day, the destruction it's caused our communities, the destruction it's caused and the trauma it's caused our communities that is still ongoing today, I would have hated to have seen the worst of the two if this is the better of the two. At the end of the day, we can't change what happened, but we can learn from it. And that's why my biggest point is to move the day so we can begin to heal as a country. Because let's not forget, as Aboriginal people, we just want to celebrate an Australia Day with you as well. As non-Indigenous people, but we struggle to do it on that date.
Well, let's get both your reactions to something that Pat Cash, the former Wimbledon champion, this is what he said about Australia Day recently.
The poverty up there, the illness up there, the lack of interest and lack of care, it's mind-boggling. So anybody who goes up will understand the position I'm at. How can I possibly celebrate Australia Day when the real Australians are completely 100% opposed to it? Why are we celebrating the landing of the British?
That's Pat Cash there. Jacinta, Cash and Joe Williams are hardly alone here in saying that January 26 represents an invasion and that it's inappropriate to celebrate the National Day on the anniversary, especially when conflict and dispossession began. Could you also argue that given the incarceration rates, the deaths in custody in the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders, aren't they right to say that that conflict continues?
Well, look, there's a lot behind that particular question, but it wasn't an invasion, as we've now come to learn. that, you know, if it wasn't in fact an invasion, then international law would recognise it as such, but it was recognised as being settled. You know, the reason why we have such high incarceration rates is not necessarily due to what happened within our history. Yes, when the British first came, they treated Aboriginal people much like they treated convicts and locked them up at alarming rates. But toward the end of the 1800s, the incarceration rates in fact declined dramatically. And because Aboriginal people became part of the economy and became, you know, started to work with non-Indigenous Australians and formed this new way of survival, if you like. And the main things that have now seen us be the most highly incarcerated people in this country, the two factors that have initiated that is when equal pay was introduced, which rightly so, we should have equal pay. However, it meant that a lot of those who had employed Aboriginal people could no longer employ them, so they lost their jobs. And then welfare was introduced, which made Aboriginal people far too dependent on welfare. Those two factors, coupled with the introduction of alcohol, that is what has led to the high incarceration rates of Aboriginal people to this day. And I think we need to look at issues like poor health as well. The fact that one of the other main reasons why any person leads to being incarcerated and committing crime is because of lack of education and opportunities. And that's for black and white. But as we know, for Aboriginal people, lack of education is a really tough issue.
Yeah, on that note, Joe, our Centre for Independent Studies colleague Jeremy Sammet, he says nowadays 80% of Indigenous Australians have the same employment, health, housing and other social outcomes as their non-Indigenous peers. That's Jacinta's point as well. But the remaining 20% of Indigenous Australians, they're the ones who suffer well-known social problems and live mainly in rural and remote areas. So doesn't Jacinta have a point there?
Yeah, I guess it does. But let's not forget that we were invaded here on the East Coast. So I guess that ripple effect didn't happen throughout those extreme remote areas, I guess Central Australia and the central communities, for some 100 years later. So, you know, the trauma rates are going to be a hell of a lot higher over a 100-year period, a hell of a lot higher. So we can say that those 20% are in a bad space in which they are. But also those 80% of people, you know, are largely due to coming out the other end of colonisation, coming out the other end of invasion and learning to walk in two worlds. And that is a great thing is what education happened, you know, for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people throughout, I guess, cities and coastal areas. That has been a huge benefit. But that ripple effect of trauma throughout these Central Australian communities, that didn't happen until some 100 years later.
Well, my guests are Jacinta Price from the Centre for Independent Studies, which I head, and Joe Williams is author of Defying the Enemy Within, that's ABC Books. Now, let's turn to the question of whether the issue of changing Australia Day resonates with the Indigenous community, especially in remote communities. Here's the Indigenous Affairs Minister, Nigel Scullion. This is what he told Kim Landers on ABC's AM, that apart from the government's advisor, Professor Chris Sara, he doesn't know of any Indigenous Australians who've asked him to change the date.
He'd be the only Indigenous Australian who has said to me, and I've just spent the last week, different communities around Australia, it never comes up as an issue. What people are telling me that they want to make sure that their kids get a good education. What about more opportunities for access to the health system in circumstance?
So not a single Indigenous person has ever expressed to you as the Indigenous Affairs Minister that they want the date changed.
That's correct. That's correct. Absolutely correct. This is not something that comes up at all.
Jacinta.
I'd have to agree with that. I know that Nigel does travel a lot and meets a lot of Aboriginal people in communities. And it just reflects the fact that a lot of Aboriginal people want practical outcomes, want action, and understand, I guess, that symbolism doesn't necessarily change things on the ground and positively impact people's lives in practical measures. And, I mean, it makes sense to me that no one has actually spoken to him. It doesn't surprise me.
Joe?
I travel the country vastly as much as Nigel does. I come in contact with thousands on thousands of Aboriginal people that say and who have contacted me this week, again from Walpiri and Narunda people as well, that have contacted me from right across the country that want the date changed. And all I can do is sit and listen to that sound grab and believe what Nigel Scullion has to say. But from my perspective, if Nigel Scullion hasn't asked Aboriginal people, if they want the date changed, then they're not going to talk to him about it. If you're going to ask about health and education outcomes, of course they're going to ask. Of course they're going to answer health and education outcomes. But at the end of the day, I believe that I travel across the country as much as Nigel does, and Aboriginal people speak to me about it all the day.
Yeah, there is intriguing.
He's got to get out of his office a little bit.
There is intriguing polling data on this, isn't there, Jacinta? I mean, the Australian Institute survey of something like 1,400 people that indicates that a majority of the population can't name the event it commemorates. And they would not mind if the date was shifted.
Again, lack of knowledge of what's going on in our country's history, which was why I think we need to learn more about our history and that particular date in general. For my family, I've spoken about this, which is a major atrocity that occurred in 1928, which was the Coniston Massacre. And my grandfather was alive when it happened and a survivor. And, you know, we commemorated that event 75 years later and invited the descendants of those that killed our family, which included an Arunda man as well, who had, you know, tied up our women and raped them before murdering them, as well as murdered many children. But we didn't hold, you know, we didn't hold any, I guess, disdain or harbour any resentment toward Arunda, because Arunda are our family as well. And the same can be said about white people for this happening and the white policemen. We don't hold any resentment toward them because white people are in our family as well. And we invited the descendant. One descendant came and we stood with her and embraced her and we said, look, you know, we want to share this moment with you and let you understand we don't hold you responsible for your grandfather's behaviours, for what he did to our people, but we want to understand there's a really difficult time in our history, but we want to move forward now and do it together, you know, as just one people. And this is a part of our history that I believe the rest of the nation could most certainly learn from. And in my view, that act of forgiveness as well was what I view as what real reconciliation, the act of reconciliation to me is.
Now, Jacinta says that she and you would not be here but for the European family members you've had through the generations. I mean, isn't that a valid view to put in keeping Australia Day on January 26th?
You know, I've got English and Scottish heritage as well from my mother's side and Chinese from my father's. So, you know, I'm a bit of a mixed bag. Yeah. But I think we can't discount the resilience of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people by saying that we wouldn't be here as if it weren't for the non-Indigenous people. There was an attempt at genocide for us. People tried to breed us out. And let's not forget, our people lived through an ice age. So the resilience of our people has been incredible over the years. We aren't victims, we're survivors. So for me, I've got to talk about, you know, the resilience of our people. And of course, I'm accepting of my non-Indigenous side. I don't wipe that by no means at all. And I speak about that quite evidently with my mother. You know, she's my first queen. So for me, I've got to talk to the resilience of our people. And we can't just say that we wouldn't be here without non-Indigenous people. Sure, advancement of technology, advancement of everything that we have today has been a huge benefit for our people. And we've got to learn to walk in two worlds.
And you're not just a survivor, you're a thriver. Like, you know? and that's where, you know, we all need to be. We all need to be that. And, you know, there are a lot of people still just surviving, but they need to be able to thrive, like myself and like Joe.
That's a good way to conclude the debate. We're all in it together. Jacinta, Joe, thanks so much for being on Radio National today.
Thank you.
That's Jacinta Price. She's an Alice Springs counsellor and a research associate at the Centre for Independent Studies, where I work. And Joe Williams is a former South Sydney first grade footballer and author of The Enemy Within. That's just out by ABC Books and HarperCollins.